ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
And just because I don't always feel Jesus here with me, I know He is. Because Paul tells us in Hebrews that He will never leave me or forsake me. And you know what the word never means? Never. I know we think, yeah, but. No, it's never. There's no but in there. He doesn't say He's never going to leave you except. No, He will never leave you or forsake you. So if you don't feel close to God, keep doing the things that you did when you first fell in love with Him. Get back into His Word. Get back into prayer. Get back into fellowship. Get back into Bible studies so you can hear from God and pray, Lord, soften my heart. Keep my mind open to the things that You want to show me. You look at the church of Ephesus, and their light went out, just like the Lord said. It's just ruins there today. The harbor is gone. The sea's some 6 miles away, unapproachable by ship. And when the Lord says, or else, He means it. It's a vivid reminder. We need to listen. We need to remember, repent, and repeat. If we are just disinterested, if we lost that intimate relationship with Him, that we walked away. If you are really seeking the Lord, do you think He's going to hide Himself from you? Of course He's not. And again, you may not always feel close to Him. You may not always feel His presence in your life, but He's always with you, like I said. So don't let complacency cause you to be disinterested in the things of God, especially in the days we're living in. I mean, when I first got saved, prophecy was very exciting to me because, man, I thought the Lord was coming back right away. I look at things that are going on today in this world. I'm even more excited that He can come back today. It's incredible. We should be the most joyous, excited people around because the King of Kings is coming back for His bride, the church. And I think it's soon. Now look at what's going on in Syria. Did you see that Iran and Russia had joint military maneuvers in Syria? It's like Ezekiel 38 and 39 are playing out. Angie just told me that they found large gas and oil deposits in the land of Asher, which is just amazing because in Genesis, when Jacob is blessing his children, he talks about Asher dipping his foot in or toe in oil. Most of the commentators, and I disagree with them, but most of the commentators say, oh, that's speaking of olive trees, and they stomp on the oils and make olive oil. I thought, no, that's oil. Guess what they found in Asher? Oil. Imagine that. It's exciting. We should be excited about these things. And one more, I guess, we'll deal with, is, and that's laziness. The Bible talks a lot about laziness, but yeah, we could just become lazy. Newton's first law of motion states that an object in motion tends to remain in motion, and an object at rest tends to remain at rest. And that applies to us, I think, as well. Some are naturally driven to complete projects, and others aren't. And they need motivation to do what they need to do. The Bible is kind of clear because the Lord ordained work for man. Laziness, I guess, is really a sin. Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider his ways and be wise. This is a hard one because it's easy to become lazy, not do anything. But I tell you what, here's what I would challenge you. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Because once you start serving Him, once you start seeing God working, once you take those steps of faith, there's nothing that's going to stop you. I don't care how tired you are. I'm not saying we don't get tired. We do. But when the Lord calls you to do something, take that step of faith and do it. Be obedient. Yes, we get tired in the work, but not of the work. Because we have these physical bodies. And I wish I could still do the things that I did when I was 20 years old, but I'm not 20 anymore. And yeah, I get tired. But I know that the Lord gives me the strength that I need to accomplish the work that he's called me to do. There's no doubt in my mind. He's always done that, and he always will. And those are just a few things that can stop us from the Lord, what the Lord has called us to do. And the cure is simple for us, and that's the next really point, is to go forward. And I'll share this with you, and then we'll get to the text that we're going to be looking at. But Danny Cox was a former jet pilot turned business leader. And he tells his readers in Seize the Day that when jet fighters were first invented, they flew much faster than the propeller predecessors, obviously. So pilot ejection became a more sophisticated process, he said. Theoretically, of course, all a pilot needed to do was push a button, clear the plane, then roll forward out of the seat so the parachute would open. Pretty simple. But there was a problem that popped up during the testing. Some pilots, instead of letting go, would keep a grip on the seat. I have to be honest with you, if I got ejected from a jet plane, I'd be holding on for my life to that seat as well. I don't know about you. So the parachute would remain trapped between the seat and the pilot's back. Couldn't open up. Well, the engineers went back to the drawing board and came up with a solution. And Cox writes, the new design called for a 2-inch rubbed strap, one end attached to the front edge of the seat under the pilot, the other end attached to the electronic take-up reel behind the headrest. 2 seconds after injection, the electronic take-up reel would immediately take up the slack and force the pilot forward out of his seat, thus freeing him from the parachute. Bottom line, the jet fighter pilots needed the device to launch them out of their chairs. I would need one too, right? But what is it going to take for us to be launched out of our chairs, right? What does the Lord have to do? It's a great question. Look at verse 3 here in Joshua 18. Then Joshua said to the children of Israel, how long will you neglect to go and possess the land which the Lord your God, Lord God of your fathers has given to you? Pick out from among you 3 men for each tribe, and I will send them. They shall rise and go through the land, survey it according to their inheritance, and come back to me. And they shall divide it into 7 parts. Judah shall remain in their territory on the south, and the house of Joseph shall remain in their territory on the north. You shall therefore survey the land in 7 parts and bring the survey here to me, that I may cast lots for you here before the Lord our God. But the Levites have no part among you, for the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance. And Gad, Reuben, and the half-tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance beyond the Jordan on the east, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave to them. So Joshua kind of rebukes them, and he sends out 21 men then, 3 men from each of the remaining tribes, to survey the land and divide the land into 7 parts. And here's the thing. Our Joshua, our Yeshua, our Jesus, does the same with us. When we become complacent and not moving forward, he kind of ejects us out of our chair, you might say. And he doesn't do it to hurt us or harm us, but he wants to get us moving. And here's the thing. Again, if these tribes did not go and possess the land that God had given them, these pockets of resistance, the enemy would remain in the land. And that's going to be their downfall because they didn't drive them out completely. And I think the same is true in our lives. If we're moving forward, if we're not taking back the land that God has given to us, we're leaving these pockets of resistance in our lives, and the enemy will use these things to bring us down. You have to go forward. You have to see the salvation that the Lord is going to bring to the situations that we're facing. Remember when the children of Israel, they had left their bondage in Egypt, they were heading out towards the Red Sea, and now they're cornered by the Egyptians. The Red Sea in front of them, 2 mountains on either side, and the Egyptians coming from the back end. No place for 2 to 3 million Jews to go to. And they're complaining to Moses that he brought them out there to die. And listen to what the Lord said to Moses. Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Now we read that and go, well, yeah, sure, through the Red Sea. The Red Sea wasn't parted yet. What was the command? Hey, guys, stop crying, start moving. They had to walk by faith. They had to trust the Lord. And I'm telling you, even when the Red Sea was parted and they were walking through on dry land, can you imagine the noise as those waters were piled up there? Can you imagine what that must have looked like? Incredible. And yet they had to walk by faith. They had to trust the Lord. And they did. And they went forward. And they saw the salvation that the Lord brought to that situation. What is the Lord calling you to do? To go forward? What does he want you to do? Be open to him. You know, God doesn't hide things from us. He reveals them. And maybe not as always as quickly as we like, but he does. He shows us what we need to do, when we need to do it. That's really not the issue. The issue is the next point, obedience. Are we willing to be obedient to what the Lord is telling us to do? Look at verse 8 here in Joshua 18. Then the men arose to go away, and Joshua charged those who went to survey the land, saying, "Go walk through the land, survey it, and come back to me, that I may cast lots for you here before the Lord in Shiloh." So the men went, passed through the land, and wrote the survey in a book in seven parts by cities, and they came to Joshua at the camp in Shiloh. I like this because Joshua said, "You need to go and do this." And what did they do? They went. They didn't make excuses. They didn't complain. They just went forward. They were obedient to what Joshua was telling us or telling them. And I guess, what about us? When the Lord calls us to step out in faith to move forward, are we obeying him or are we sitting back and just surveying, seeing what's going to happen? That's a dangerous place to be. You know, Paul wrote in Romans chapter 16, verses 17 through 20, he said, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them, for those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ but their own belly. And by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." Now, Paul here, of course, is speaking of the false teachers and teachings that were coming into the church and how they needed to stand against them. He wanted them to learn what was good, what is truth, the word of God, and that way they wouldn't be deceived. In fact, the word simple or innocent in verse 19 there is a word that speaks of being unmixed or simple or pure. Don't become polluted with the false doctrines that are out there, but hold on to that which is good, God's word. You don't mix truth and error, not even a little, because it doesn't make it more truthful. It weakens the truth. And I think it's important in the days we're living in, you know, that so much within the church today has been polluted. We've allowed so much sin and false teaching to come into the church that it's weakened the church. I can't tell you how many churches that, you know, I see on Facebook, how they've accepted the transgender, homosexual, lesbian lifestyles. They see it as no problem. They're willing to ordain gay and lesbian people in the pulpit. And I shake my head. We need to be obedient to the Lord. Yeah, but there's so much pressure that we have to give in. Really? Well, maybe you should examine the early church. Because there was a lot of pressure for them to give in. Hey, all you have to do is once a year, bow your knee to Caesar. Hail to Caesar. Once a year. It's not a big deal. Just do it and you won't be in trouble with Rome. You won't be put to death. Just do it. Once a year. Little compromise. What's next? A little more compromise. A little more. What did they do? They refused to bow to Caesar because there was only one Lord in their life and it was Jesus. And I think for today, we need to be obedient to the Lord. We need to take a stand in what he's telling us to do. And we did a series on this, but God has ordained three organizations, you might say. The first is government. Government is very important. Our nation was founded under Judeo-Christian principles. You look at the Declaration of Independence, how long that document has stood. It's longer than any other nation in the world. No other document, no other constitution has lasted as long as ours. Why? Because it was founded under godly principles. They are destroying that. They are tearing it down. The next one is family. Today, we don't even know what a family is. In fact, you can get in trouble by calling someone not a he or she because they're really an it or a them or a whatever, a binary number, I don't know. You can get in trouble. We don't even know what a family is anymore. God ordained it. It's already back in Genesis chapter 2. So we're destroying our government in our nation, right? We're becoming a socialist nation. We're taking God out of the picture. We've destroyed what a family is, so now our children have no idea what a family is. And the last one, and this has happened very, very quickly now, is the church. The church does not stand upon the truths of God found in the Word of God anymore. Oh, it has some truth in there. Well, there are parts of the Bible are right. No, it's either all right or it's all wrong. You can't pick and choose. This is not a smorgasbord. Secondly, you didn't write this book, so you have no right to edit it. Only God does, because by His Spirit these words were written. So now you've destroyed the government, the family, and the church. How close is this nation to falling apart? I pray, Lord, send revival. Soften the hearts of the people. Have you ever seen people so enthralled in depravity as today? It boggles the mind. I don't even get it. I guess I should, because in Romans, Paul talks about this, that if they reject God, if they suppress the truth, because all know that there is a God, but you could suppress that truth, God will give you over to debased mind and debased activities. And that's exactly what we see today. This is the problem. And the only solution, and people don't want to hear it, is Jesus. Because He can take our dead spiritual bodies and make them alive again. He's the only one. And that's what we pray for. That's the only hope for our nation. Our founding fathers knew that. And you look at the things that they wrote. People today will tell you, we were never a Christian nation. Liars. Or, as our president says, fake news. Because that's the reality. You look, the documents are there. That's like saying the Holocaust never happened. And there are professors and colleges and people who deny it. We have evidence. Yes, many of these survivors of the Holocaust are dying. But we have film footage. Because one of the presidents, and I don't remember who he was, said, look, if we don't document this, down the road, people won't believe it. Very smart, because people are denying it today. You look at the writings of our founding fathers, they are Christian. You look at some of these states, you had to be a born-again Christian to even run for office. We need to stand up for the truth, guys. We're in a battle. Don't let Satan get a foothold in your life or in the church. You take a stand. You go be obedient to what the Lord is saying. And I'll tell you what. You know, if your faith is wishy-washy, nobody's going to want what you have. If your faith is real, you're passionate about what you believe in, either people will be drawn to it or they're going to be really mad at you. Sorry, it's just the reality. But you know what? At least you're getting them thinking. And that's the key. When J. Wilbur Chapman was in London, he had an opportunity to meet General Booth. And at that time, he was past 80 years of age. And Dr. Chapman listened reverently as the old general spoke of the trials and the conflicts and the victories he had experienced. And it was tough. You'd think that starting, you know, the Salvation Army would be an easy thing, that everyone would welcome it. They didn't. He had a lot of battles. Well, the American evangelist then asked the general if he would disclose his secret for success. And he hesitated a second, Dr. Chapman said, and I saw the tears come into his eyes and steal down his cheeks. And then he said, I will tell you the secret. God has had all there was of me. There have been men with greater brains than I, men with greater opportunities, but from the day I got the poor of London on my heart and a vision of what Jesus Christ could do with the poor of London, I made up my mind that He would have all of William Booth there was. And if there is anything of power in the Salvation Army today, it is because God has all the adoration of my heart, all the power of my will, and all the influence of my life. And Dr. Chapman said he went away from that meeting with General Booth knowing that the greatness of a man's power is the measure of his surrender. How true that is. Are we willing to surrender our lives totally to the Lord and be obedient to what he is showing us and see what he can do? He's not looking for the most intelligent person, the most wealthy person, most this or that. He's looking for someone who is open to be used by him. And that brings us our last point, the blessing. Look at verse 10 here in Joshua 18. Then Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Lord. And there Joshua divided the land to the children of Israel according to their divisions. So out of that obedience, the land's divided. They get their inheritance. But let me say this. I want to be clear on this. Because they were obedient, it didn't make Joshua feel that he owed them this land. It was because they were obedient that this is the result. Let me put it this way. There's a sign on the road that says 35 miles an hour, and you have an option here. You can go 35 miles an hour, or you can go faster, right? You can do whatever you want. If you go faster than the speed limit, you could get a ticket. It's the consequences of your actions. But if you go the speed limit, you will not get a ticket. But it's not because the officer is there to bless you. When I was going the speed limit, I've never had an officer pull me over and go, man, great job, you were going the speed limit. That was just the result of obeying the law. We're blessed by God because we obey what he has told us. But not obeying, yeah, there's consequences to it. That's the problem. Are we willing to give our lives totally over to the Lord, totally to surrender to him? I hope so. Our obedience to God's command is so important in these days that we're living in. If we begin to settle down, rest, sit out, we are going to become complacent in our walk with the Lord. And there's danger in that. Many churches, there's no excitement about the Lord's return today. Like, how could you not? He's coming back. They're just complacent. They don't care. How do you not care? I'm just excited today than I was some 30 years ago when I first got saved and I knew he was coming back. We have to go forward. We have to move ahead, because if we don't, it's not that we're just going to become stagnant in our walk with the Lord. We end up going backwards. We end up going backsliding, and that's dangerous. We have to be obedient to what the Lord is telling us to do, and we're blessed as we do that. This is not earth-shattering news, to any of us. But it's so important that we take an inventory of where we're at and see what God wants to do in us and through us. God is always working. Are we listening? Are we paying attention to what he's telling us? I think that's important. You know, for the children of Israel, think about it, man. 7 years of war, driving out the enemies, major enemies. Now there are pockets of resistance. And seven tribes didn't even seek out land. And maybe the Lord's knocking on your heart this morning saying, okay, you need to take a step of faith. You need to go forward. You need to drive out this enemy. You need to do this. You need to get involved here. Whatever it may be, keep going forward. Never give up, because God is working in our lives. That's so exciting to me. I don't care where you're at. Again, I don't care how wealthy you are, how educated you are, how healthy you are. God uses us to do great things. I think about Doug, who went to be with the Lord several weeks ago, and his health was failing towards the end of his life. So he couldn't do all the things physically that he wanted. You know what he did? He had a prayer room. And he had prayer requests all over the wall. And he would pray. God used him mightily. Don't put yourself on a shelf. God will use us from the moment we get saved to the moment we go home to be with him, if we are willing to surrender and follow him. That's the exciting thing. Don't be complacent. Move forward and see what God's going to do in you and through you for his glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the study. It's a difficult one, Lord, because, again, we have to look at our own hearts individually. And Lord, we just pray that each of us, as we do, take that inventory, that those things that we need to get rid of, we'd get rid of in our lives. And Lord, the things you've called us to do, we would step forward, that we would be obedient and follow you. And Lord, we'd see the blessings that would happen in our lives. And I'm not saying things would be easy all the time. But Lord, there are those blessings, knowing that we are obedient to your word. We are following you all the days of our life. Lord, I just pray for any here this morning who are struggling in this area of complacency, that you would stir them up. And Lord, let them know that you love them unconditionally and you want to use them. And I think we all need to hear that, Lord. Thank you. Lord, just be with us, guide us this week as we serve you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.